This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome in our Warriors Weekly podcast. Once again, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, and Steiny. There's no other way we can start this episode of the podcast but talking about Stephen Curry and him breaking the all-time three-point record at Madison Square Garden a couple of nights ago as we record this. I mean, really, we talked a lot more than I thought we were going to leading up to him ultimately breaking the record, about how special it would be, where would it all go down. And I think when it came down to it, you couldn't have picked or scripted a better place or time or way for him to do it than at Madison Square Garden with Ray Allen in the building and Reggie Miller calling the game for TNT. It was a very, very cool, real moment.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I also think that, it was handled great by the Knicks and by the league and by TNT. I thought they paid it the kind of attention it needed, you know, stopped the game, did a little tribute. I don't think it really took away from the game. The one thing that I'm anxious to see right now is I do think that this pursuit of his affected the team a little bit. I just don't think they've been themselves since the, last two or three weeks as it came up. And it's, to me, the biggest irony is that he's done this now kind of in the middle of one of his worst shooting slumps of his career. He's you and I do this all the time, just kind of updating his shooting percentages, and he's under 40 right now, 3-point range. Now it's 39.9, but I don't mean that to take a shot at him. I mean it to kind of emphasize how great this guy's been. I mean, he's not shooting great from the field. He's not shooting great from 3-point range this year, but the impact he still has on games just by being out there is something that's always made him kind of better than his numbers have indicated, because he helps so many other players just by being out on the floor. So what I'm getting at, JD, is to me, the next month or so is going to be what I'm really looking at to see if he kind of comes out of it a little and the Warriors kind of come out of it a little, because it looked like they were maybe trying a little too hard to get him the record. They were caught between trying to get him the ball too much and then saying, well, no, let's play the right way. And if it had, when it happens, it happens. So I do think they were just kind of, they've been kind of out of kilter, and now they got two games coming up and it's all behind them now. And I'm kind of anxious to see where they go from here.
Yeah. And I think you could also make the case that the timing of it actually wound up putting them in it was a pretty good time for them to go through it, right? They were beyond the games against Phoenix. They had hit this lull in the schedule where they were playing some lesser opponents at home. And then I think they got a little caught up in it. Did it bleed into the game in Philadelphia that they ultimately lost? It probably did. But they had a lead that they lost in that game. And then they were still able to go grind out a couple of wins in Indiana and at New York. And so it really, like so many issues, if you want to call them that, when the Warriors were in the championship run, if they did get it, never really cost him anything. And I feel like this, you know, yeah, Curry's under 40. Well, you know what that means? He's probably going to get really hot for about a month at some point. Right. At least historically, that's what it's meant. And this team dropped one game against a pretty good Eastern Conference team, but they've won every other game that you could put in the category of while they were maybe chasing the record a little bit. And so I think it's nice to have it out of the way now as they look more toward Klay Thompson's potential return and really trying to hone in and build a rhythm with what that new group, because it really, in a lot of ways, Steiny is going to be, it's going to be a new team when Klay Thompson comes back, at least for a short stretch.
Definitely. And there's going to be ripple effects to everything. What's going to happen to Jordan Poole when he goes to the bench? Although I will say this, I'm getting less and less concerned about that, JD, simply because I'm just starting to think he's a little bit of a feast or famine player. When he's got it going, he's got it going. When he doesn't, he doesn't. And it's almost like when he goes to the bench, it's going to be beneficial to the Warriors, because I just always feel like when you're coming off the bench, when you give the team something, it's kind of gravy. And if you don't, you know, it's just one of those nights where you don't have it. But that's less – it's tougher to do when you're a starter. And I do think that the sixth man role, at least right now in his career, is going to suit him well if he dives into it and kind of gives it his best shot at it.
Yeah, it's interesting with Poole, because I feel like he's got a knack for, even when he doesn't play well, still making a few plays that help you win, or still having some aspect of his game, whether it's 13 free throws in the game the other night against the Knicks when he doesn't make a three-pointer. Well, if he goes to the free throw line three or four times, maybe the Warriors end up losing that game because he couldn't make a three-pointer. He's also really looked awful maybe in the first half of a game, helped them win in the second half of a game. So I think that also plays very well, I think, with everything else that this team has got going on. He's a wild card that can really help you. And it almost feels like on the nights where maybe he's hurting you, he's not really necessarily hurting you enough to where he's a guarantee alone to really get you beat, which I think would have been something maybe you would have feared about him as his career began to progress a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. And, you know, I just keep coming back to Iguodala talking about Wiseman and Jordan Poole, and how, you know, it's almost like he's taking them under his wing as his pet project, that he's going to figure out a way to keep these guys engaged, even if Wiseman's playing limited minutes and even if Poole's coming off the bench. I mean, I got to believe Poole's going to have every bit as free rein that he had when he was starting. And I mean, that's the kind of thing that I've noticed about Poole, and I don't know if I love it or hate it, but, you know, Steph Curry may be out on the floor with him, and sometimes it doesn't matter if you're Jordan Poole. You're going to do what he's going to do, and, you know, he doesn't really – I don't want to say – you know, his first priority is not to get Steph Curry the ball. His first priority is to score, and I think that that's going to serve him well, especially if he comes in off the bench and – finds himself in the lineup without Steph Curry. So, you know, it's kind of funny now that this record's behind him. I kind of feel like it's the start of something new for this team. And, you know, they're going to play a few games here, and then they're going to get Klay Thompson back. And, you know, then we're going to have to kind of reassess where they are and measure how Klay looks and how he's impacted the team. But I think the one thing that's really going to help the Warriors is it's going to keep them fresh. Just knowing Klay's coming back, that's going to take them that's going to carry them another 4 to 6 weeks, I think. And I just think it's a way of the team being able to be kept fresh and, you know, kind of on point as the season drags on.
No, and I think you look at it, and it, no matter when Klay Thompson comes back, whether it's the week before Christmas, the week after Christmas, if it winds up being New Year's, whatever it ends up being, that whole first month is going to have some juice to it. And I think that carries you through the dog days, really, to the point where by the time you're a month in, you're basically at the All-Star break. And, right. and then you get a little bit of a break there. And then you get through a little stretch after the break, and it's go time as far as, you know, seeing what maybe this team really can do. You referenced it as starting something new, and I think that's well said, but they're starting something new at 23-5 or 25-6 or whatever the heck it's going to be, 28-7 when
right.
you get back. And I think that's where this thing has the potential to really get special. And look, I know we're all kind of waiting for Klay and just relating it back to the other night, and I know Steph Curry addressed this and Draymond Green addressed it, and just the emotion on the night where Steph breaks the record of kind of not having Klay be a part of it, and right. just how it, if there was one disappointing aspect of it, it's just, and sometimes I catch myself like, he hadn't played in 2.5 years. Like, what were you doing in June of 2019, just in your life compared to
right.
like where you are? I mean, that is a long freaking time. And just you look at everything that's gone on to this point, it's just crazy. I can't think of anything like it in the history of sports with somebody being out or missing time for that long and then coming back. And then just kind of feeling the love at this level and being able to potentially contribute at a high level.
Yeah, that's the part that I think we all gotta be careful about, because you're right. It's going to be what, 30 months since he's played a game. And I do think the one thing we got to brace ourselves for is him being in a very limited role the first 6 weeks. I don't think he's going to play back to back. I don't think, 20 minutes a night. I think he's going to want to play more. I think the fans are going to want him to play more. And I just think the Warriors are going to have to fight that. And as much as it's going to be hard to do, I think they've got to look at this as what we really want to do here is get him back late December, early January, and get him back to 100%. By next year, by the opening season in October. Like, I really do think they've got to approach it that cautiously and not think of Klay coming back and we're getting Klay Thompson, the All-Star, back, but we're getting Klay Thompson, a role player, back. And then if he shows that he's better than a role player, dynamite. But it's just going to be so much fun to see where he's at. And hopefully, 3-4 weeks from now, JD, we're saying, boy, Klay looks pretty good, as opposed to, I wonder how long it's going to take Klay to get back to being right.
Well, I never would have believed that Klay Thompson could be a role player and that this team could contend for and maybe win an NBA championship this season. I think given the way that this Warriors team has played and the state of the rest of the league, he could be a role player or just maybe a little bit better than a role player, but not what he was before. And I actually think that could be enough. I mean, it's not, and this goes back to when I was a kid, but it's not Bill Walton waving the towel. Like, it's not like it's, but somebody that's, playing a sixth man type of a role, even if he's starting and contributing, but isn't the guy that we saw a couple of years ago. Not to say that he can't get back to that next year or beyond, but it just, he's going to give this team an infusion that they're going to need. And like, it wouldn't surprise me, I guess is what I'm saying, if, he's pretty good between now and the end of the season. And then the Warriors get into a playoff series and we're all kind of thinking, boy, he's not maybe what he was. But then he has a couple of games in a playoff series where he goes for 20 or 22. And that in and of itself is enough to maybe give them the boost that they need that they wouldn't have had if they had had to play this entire season without him.
Right. No, I think that's a good point. The idea that Klay Thompson can come back and have some ups and downs and good games and bad games and the Warriors still win it. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that before the season. I'm still not sure I buy it, but but we'll see. I mean, I think the other thing we got to maybe get ready for is that, what are they, 22-5, 23-5?
23 as we record this, yeah.
23-5. I think there's also a chance that they may start losing just a little bit more than they have, even when Klay comes back. Do you think they're going to win the next two games? Do you think they're going to beat Boston and Toronto back-to-back?
I would say they got a shot. Because the way I would put it is they haven't really played well yet on this trip.
And right.
I almost feel like they've been grinding, I think, a little bit physically with the games being compacted and the record, right. I think, compounding that as far as Steph going for the record. I think getting a couple of days off, actually, and then playing that game in Boston on Friday, there's a part of me that thinks that's going to be the best game that they play. Right. Like they're going to come out fresh, invigorated, and they go play that game and they win that game because they play well. Not to get too in the weeds on you. But the one thing I would say about maybe the Toronto game, I kind of feel like they may take a night where they give some guys some night off. It's starting to feel like Toronto's going to be that night. Not to get off on this tangent, but I don't know if you saw, but the government in Canada now, they're going to have to play half capacity beginning with Saturday. The Raptors are reducing capacity. And I'm thinking, if there's ever a night where you're the Warriors on the road at the end of a long trip before you're coming home, to where we're going to get through that Boston game and then almost treat the Toronto game like the Detroit game at the end of that other trip, I kind of feel like that's where this thing's headed. And so are they going to lose some games if they do that once in a while? Maybe. But I think that's one of the things this Warriors team has going for them is they're winning even when they're not really playing well. And I don't think they've played great in any of the three games on the trip, but they were 2-1. And you could make a case, Philly kind of came and got that one from them, that they play a little bit better a stretch here, stretch there. They win that game. So I don't know. There's vibes.
I kind of look at it the opposite way, okay. Believe it or not. I thought Philly, to my way of thinking, Philly got them. But to me, it's like they shouldn't have won the Indiana game. They were outplayed all game long.
But they won.
Indiana needs to make one play in the last 2 minutes, and they can't do it. And you look at the box score, and Miles Turner is terrible, and Duarte is terrible, and
Looney kicked his ass, man. Kevon Looney kicked his ass.
I mean, it's just so. And then even the Knicks game, you can always look at it two ways. I mean, maybe that's the state of the league. The Warriors can go in there and play a 75% game and beat the Knicks and beat the Indiana Pacers on the road, which was very unusual. So I think, and it's combined with the fact that some of these other teams just don't have, if you're 500 in the Eastern Conference, the Warriors can beat you with a 75 or 80% effort. And I think that's what they did the last two nights. I shouldn't say effort, because I think they're playing hard, but they're not playing well.
Yeah, I think that's well said. They're playing hard. They're trying to win each game, but they're just not playing well. I don't feel like the Warriors went into Indiana and didn't take Indiana seriously. They just didn't play well. I don't think they went into New York and didn't take the Knicks seriously. They played better in New York than they did in Indiana, but I know what you're saying. Like, I think they're just struggling more than you would expect a team with their record, but yet they're still able to cover. And I don't feel like they've stolen a bunch of games either. Like, that's the other thing. Maybe they stole the Indiana game, but if you look up and down the Warriors schedule, there aren't that many where I go, damn, they really should have lost that game. and kind of stole it. I mean, there's been a couple, but and Indiana right. I'd put in that category. So I still feel like they're just on par, but there's a level they can still get to. But now if they can actually get to that level, look out, because it's, you know, they've already built up this stockpile of so many different wins that they're just kind of rolling.
I feel like everything's kind of, and I know Clay's been out and Wiseman's been out, but it feels like, you know, they've just, I feel like they haven't hit their adversity yet. Whatever that is and whatever it looks like. And you know what? Maybe it's a product of the league that look, there's 20 teams in the NBA that the Golden State Warriors can go out there and just beat because they're better than them, and they're more professional, and they have a way to play, and they know their personnel better. But I do think there's going to be some adversity ahead of them. I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe it's Clay's not as good as we think, or maybe Wiseman. I don't even know if Wiseman having a setback would be adversity at this point. But, you know, maybe they find out they're not getting Wiseman back, and now Looney gets banged up for a few games, and they got to play under man. But I do think it's coming, and I'm kind of interested to see how they're going to handle that too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Just final couple thoughts here. We'll make this a little shorter edition of the podcast. We'll try and catch up a little bit early next week. I know we got the holidays coming up, so we'll try and sneak a couple of these in. Jonathan Kuminga's got a little bit more run the last couple games, not extended run, but what have you kind of made of him? I think we talked about this last week. I still kind of feel like there's something there to where maybe he could be a piece that helps him a little bit down the stretch, even this season. And I kind of keep in the back of my mind, could he wind up helping him more than Wiseman in big games and in playoff games? I'm more and more open-minded to that, almost by the shift that he's able to get out there on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that he's got going for him is he's – how do I want to put this? Wiseman, to me, is unique, because when he's their center, he's different than everybody else. You could kind of say, well, Kuminga's one of four small fives they could use. You know, they could use Draymond there. They can use Looney there. They could use Bielitsa there. But there's something about Kuminga I like too. I like the energy he plays with. The question is, if you get into a big game and the Warriors are going to go small, would there be a reason to use Kuminga over Draymond at the five? Would there be a reason to use Kuminga over Looney? You know, because that's the one thing. He's going to have to earn the trust of Steve Kerr probably over the next three or four months, but before we get into the playoffs. But if you're asking me right now who will be a bigger factor in the postseason, Kuminga or Wiseman, I'd have to say Kuminga at this point. And I'm not sure Kuminga will be a factor in the playoffs, but right now I'd have to give him the better shot to do it.
Yeah, it's interesting, because you're right. I mean, if it's going to wind up being Steph, Clay, Iguodala, probably Wiggins and Draymond is one version of a closing lineup. I think the other version of a closing lineup is maybe Jordan Poole's playing instead of Clay or instead of Iguodala at different points. And then, so yeah, what would be the instance where, you know, if Kuminga's playing and Draymond's playing, does that mean Wiggins isn't playing? Does that mean Clay's not playing? Somebody that you'd probably want to figure to have out there would have to be out there if he's finishing. But I could just see Kuminga being he. You know what it is about Kuminga, and we'll wrap it on this note. The thing for Kuminga to me is some players just bring a. Other players like playing with him, and other players get a little juice when he's on the floor. And I almost feel like the Warriors players get a little energized and pick up when he's on the court. And even that can be a little bit beneficial. Like, you're getting a better version of maybe the other four guys that are out there because Kuminga's out there with them, and they like the kid so much.
Right. And I think the thing they like about Kuminga is just the energy. I think you're right. Just the energy that he brings, because I mean, he just goes out and he plays hard, and it's a different energy than Wiseman brings. You know, like Wiseman to me doesn't really bring energy. He's just a big guy who's playing. But you know, Kuminga to me reminds me a little of a Dennis Rodman or a John Sally when they would come off the bench for the Pistons, the Bad Boy Pistons, and you know, the Pistons were sitting with Bill Laimbeer, wasn't very athletic. James Edwards played a lot. He wasn't, but once those guys came in, the whole makeup of their team changed. And I think Kuminga gives a little bit of that to the Warriors.
There's a swagger. Like Wiseman has a little bit of a what's he going to bring? You don't
right.
know. There's a lack of confidence there. Like Kuminga just – he steps on the floor and thinks he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And like wants to fit in, and he may make some mistakes, but there's a brashness to him, I think, that leads to a positive energy among the whole group. Steiny, great stuff, my man. As always, appreciate it. We'll talk again. We'll talk again next week.
Absolutely.
All right, that's your Warriors podcast for this week. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.